Thank you. Sound like a golf clap. Today we have, really. I am so glad you're here. I look forward to every Sunday morning when we get together and just be able to open up the Word of God. And as we know, the Word of God keeps us on the right track. There's so many words and voices going towards us every week and trying to persuade us to do one thing or the other. But the Word of God, again, brings us back to stability, to balance. This morning, I'm so excited because we have a guest speaker, Ronnie Horton. Ronnie Horton is a friend of mine, and Ronnie has pastored for years. He's been a missionary also for several more years in Guatemala. He has a wonderful family. Judy attends our church with Ronnie, and their family is in ministry. But let me say this. Right now in Ronnie's life, he's working with international students that come in from all over the world. And English second language classes, he's over in the library in Saginaw. And I've watched, because if you didn't know, I tried my best and still trying to learn Spanish. And I tip my hat for all of you that are bilingual and how you've learned two languages. But Ronnie is a special kind of guy. He can teach English to several different languages. They don't just have to be Spanish. He knows Spanish fluently. And but they can be from Asia or Oklahoma, and he can still teach them English. I love that. Every time I say that, Coy gives me that look like, uh-huh. So at this time, Ronnie's going to come and minister the Word of God to us. I appreciate my friend. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Ronnie.
Wow. I need a couple of volunteers, Justin and Homer. Y'all come up. Be sure everybody gets one of these. These are not color-coded for men and women. Just be sure everybody gets one. That's a post-it in case y'all don't know. Thank y'all for coming today and being here. And thanks, John, for... I used to think Pastor John was a smart guy. And then he showed up in a sports car to let me drive it. And when that one got stolen, he showed up in the second one to let me drive it. And then he offered to let me drive it again, even after riding with me. So... And then he invited me to do this, so I know he's not as bright as I thought he was. I don't know what the problem is there, Gwen, but you're a good speaker, so there's got to be something to that there, you know, that puts that together. I don't know. I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse 21. Just hang on to that post-it. You can sit there and hold it and wonder what it's for the whole time. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. And man, I don't like suffering. But I know one thing from life, comfort is my enemy. If you like comfort too much, you will be hurt in a lot of ways. You know, seeking comfort will make you lazy, it will make you do things just to be comfortable, like comfort food or comfort time, and that will be, you know, us Americans, we know too much about comfort. Comfort's really your enemy. But I don't really like suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example. Are you glad that Jesus is your example? Why? Why are you glad Jesus is your example? I would much rather Peter be my example. I like Peter a lot. I wish it said Peter was my example, because he's mouthy, and I like that. That's a virtue in my family. The Hortons go way back with mouthy. Just because we're quiet for a minute, push the button. Peter had attitude. It didn't start with me. I can't take credit for it. Did it, Homer? That attitude didn't start with me. Homer knew my dad real well. They used to argue with each other in the office when they were supposed to be counting an offering. Didn't start with you either. No, I know your people. But I really wish it said Peter was my example. He knew some good cuss words too. I've heard a few. I know what some of them mean. I've used a few. I really do wish that. Because Jesus being my example is tough. It's really hard to think that. Because when I look at this, I feel like I'm high and lifted up here. It says, look at the next verse. You must, or the next phrase, you must follow in his steps. You must follow in his steps. You must follow in his steps. And his steps go like this. He never sinned. Oops. Messed that one up. I hadn't had much time to mess it up today, but still early. He never sinned. This is my example. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I have trouble with that. Nor deceived anyone. Well, there you go. Have you never deceived anyone about anything in life? I mean, there's so many different ways you can deceive somebody. Selling them something and don't tell them all the truth about it, you know, or cheat, lie, any number of things. Look at the next thing it says. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. Holy mackerel. The Hortons go all the way back to England, Ireland, and Scotland. Retaliating. The only people the Romans couldn't conquer. They built a wall, in fact. They built a wall because the Scottish kept beating the crap out of them. They finally just built a wall and said, let's just leave those people alone. Let's leave the Scottish alone. They're beating us up every time. Yeah, I'm going to retaliate when you insult me. It's hard to keep my mouth shut. You don't know how hard. Well, Lisa knows how hard it is. But not everybody knows how hard it is to keep your mouth shut. Jesus is our example. Oh, my gosh. No, I shouldn't have said that. My mother would get me for saying gosh in any situation, especially in church. My Lord. See? Nor, look at the next thing it says, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. Now, I'm not good at threatening. I don't threaten people. That's one thing I don't do. Thank God. I'm proud of myself there. I don't threaten people because when it happens, you won't even see it coming. There will be no threat. It will just be, there it is. It won't be like, I'm going to get you tomorrow for doing that. No, no, no. It's going to be right here, right now. That's it. And there's several people in this room that know that's the truth. So I've got that one. I don't threaten people. There's no threat. But Jesus being my example puts me in a place where I go every day, God, I just can't do that. I know he was the Son of God. I know he walked on this earth like me. And a few things that encouraged me is he got mad and made a whip out of cords and drove the money changers out of the temple and turned over tables. That was a pretty violent act. I love that. I love that Jesus wept because I've cried a few times too. I don't care to analyze why he did, if it was for Peter, if it was for unbelief of the crowd, if it was for Lazarus, or why he wept. I'm just glad he showed me that humanness. Let's read a little more. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly, which is something else that kind of bothers me. He goes, I don't want God to be fair to me. I want him to be merciful. I don't want fairness because I know what I'm capable of and I know what I've already done. I don't want him to be fair to me. I want him to show me mercy and give me grace because being fair with me is going to put me in a bind because I messed up. But he judges not just me or people. That's not what this says. He judges the situation fairly. He knows why you are like you are. He knows where you came from. He knows your daddy and his daddy and his daddy and his daddy. And he knows it didn't start with you. He knows your mama and her mama and her mama and how all that got started. So he understands and he judges the situation fairly for you. Oh, man, I like that. I need that. Then it says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your soul. So I want to ask you, the Son of God who was perfect and is our example of what perfection could be, put his case of being a perfect person, but none of us can claim, he put his case of being judged unfairly and being crucified and knowing that was his end at 33 years old. Long, long ancient history for me. At 33 years old, he was abused, beaten, and crucified. But he left that case over which he did not take control. He divested himself. He left that in the hands of God. He gave that case to God. What's your case? Oh, some of you are a case. I know that. But not that. What is your case? Because see, a lot of it are a lot of things that we deal with are things we have no control over. Or we want to, and people go, "Oh, they're a control freak." All of us are control freaks. Some of us want to control our spouse or our kids. Some of us want to control the people who work with us or for us. Some of us want to control people in our life. Some of us want to manage every detail of everything in our day so that the wheels don't fall off anything and we just lose it when we can't. But we're all trying to control something. You get all bent out of shape when something's not in your control. And so if any of you are CNN or Fox News junkies and you're watching that crap all day long, no wonder you have trouble sleeping at night and you just want to sit there and eat comfort food until you fall to sleep. Because you weren't meant for that. Your brain, your emotions, none of that was meant for that. These cases that are out of our control sometimes, or partly. And sometimes you got yourself in a situation. You had control over it at one point, but now you don't. Or now it's hard. And you feel judged, or you feel bad about that. Let me tell you, it didn't start with you. This case you're dealing with, the plan that Jesus had to walk in, even though he was perfect, he was judged as a criminal. Even though I'm a criminal, I'm cleared by the grace of God. Opposite. His case was a good man, a perfect man, a just man, wrongly judged. I've done all kinds of stuff, and I've set free by the grace of God. My case. It's kind of interesting to me that in these verses, you know, Peter, I love, the thing about the Bible is the Bible's not a book of superheroes. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. It don't just tell us the good stuff people did. It tells us the bad stuff they did. And I love that. It makes me feel not nearly as bad about myself. It tells us that, you know, there were great leaders that also were, you know, messed up. We use Solomon for a symbol of wisdom, and in his old age, he didn't get older and wiser. If you hadn't read Ecclesiastes, you haven't read about depression yet. He had some trouble. All that junk about getting older and wiser, unless I'm not there yet, that's not true. I got a BS degree, and sometimes I throw that in there, but that's just not the case. Because we're all so human. What is your case? What is your situation? In these verses, along with what Peter is talking about here, before it, you know what he's talking about? Oh, you can look and see right there. He talked about an extreme situation, slavery. One of those extreme situations that in our society, most of us white people, especially my age, it was just a bump in the road in history class to talk about slavery, and then you talk about Civil War and blah, 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 and you went on from there, and you missed the travesty that was slavery. Not the I hate it when somebody says, oh, the institution of slavery. No, it was the crime of slavery against a whole group of people for centuries, for millennia, all the way back to way before America was founded, but in America as well. He talks about people who are enslaved, and he don't talk about them getting out. He talks about how they can live in it. And I go, whoa. Why? In fact, some of the slavers of early America, they used the Bible to back up their opinion about slavery. They twisted the scripture. Because you can make it say anything you want to say, I promise you. So if I say good stuff today, give God credit. If I say something stupid, that's me. That's Ronnie, pure example, Ronnie Horton. Never caught. If you're white and you hadn't read this book, you need to read this book. Because Never Caught is about a lady named Ona Judge who was the personal servant to Martha Washington. See, George was pretty smart when he married Martha because she was a widow with a lot of assets. Most of her assets were in human beings. She had more value, money value in human beings than she had in land and property or cattle or farming. Most of her wealth at the time George married her was in human beings. Ona escaped, this book, Never Caught, written by a great author, Erica Dunbar, tells a story about her, but it also gives you an idea for all of us people who just hit the bump in the road of, oh, that was slavery and it was over and blah, blah, and we ended that. You need to go back and look at it. See, because really, John talked about all the stuff I've done. All I've ever been is a teacher. That's all I know. I've lived a lot of places. I've stood in front of a lot of groups of people. All I am is a teacher. So if I don't teach you something today, I don't feel like I've done what I was supposed to do. But Ona Judge got away, and they never caught her, but they went to grand extremes, George and Martha both, trying to recapture Ona Judge. So you need to read this. In fact, this is a copy from my own library. You can come check it out. Really, check it out. But slavery and enslaved people for generations right here in America, not talking about going back to Peter's time in the Middle East. I'm talking about right here in America for generations had no way out of it. All they could do was pray that someone would come along to open that door. And enslaved people prayed for generations until Frederick Douglass came along And George Washington Carver came along. And Martin Luther King Jr. came along. Generations of enslaved people had prayed and put their hand, their case in the hands of a just God who turned things around. And now when you hear the voice in the middle of the playing field, and the commentator has said, what do you attribute this win to today? Blah, blah, blah. And you hear the voice say, well, first of all, I want to give glory to God. I want to thank Jesus for helping us do this today. And you look at the TV and the voice, the mouth that's coming out of is an African-American individual whose ancestors were enslaved. You know that God had that case in his hand and he turned it around. Because God lifts up the downtrodden. I didn't come here today to talk to you really about social awareness. But some of you don't know why things are like they are. Putting your case in the hand of a just God. Now some of us, we got stuff we could do something about. I've had counseling about my mouth. And I still work on it every day. There are things we can take steps to do, but there are things in your life and in your situation that are going to have to be in the hands of a God who can help you because you're just not enough yourself. How many strong, brave, suffering, enslaved people tried to raise up. I could tell you story after story of the ones who tried to raise up and fight the system, but the system was too strong. But that has turned because it was in the hands of a just God. Other extremes. Solomon, who was wise, I already mentioned in his old age, apparently faced a lot of questions and doubts and depression, and we don't know exactly what all happened with Solomon. David, whose star still flies above Israel, as the greatest leader they ever had, made some pretty grave mistakes all the way to murder. People like Paul, who did what he did before knowing Jesus, but after he came to know Jesus and had the power of God in him, him and Peter had an argument right in front of everybody over how Gentiles should be. And Paul said about Peter, I withstood him to the face. This is King James for you from my childhood. I withstood him to the face because he was wrong. Well, that's the father of the church in Jerusalem, Peter. He was wrong? Well, yeah, because he's human. And it didn't start with poor Peter. He was the son of a fisherman. And fishermen can cuss, man. That's a, you know, one way Peter and I are not alike. I'm not a fisherman. But I'm going to tell you, your case, some of you are worried about stuff because it's plagued you a long time. You feel guilty. You fight, you read, you struggle, you wonder. Paul, he had trouble with a lot of stuff. One thing, he was terribly long-winded. You know, if you, old man told me when I first started preaching and teaching, if you can't be good, be brief. So I always try to be one of those, so I hope one of those fits today. Paul, he could stir up something wherever he went. He couldn't let it go. You know, there's some things you don't have to poke the bear every time. But some of us are just bear pokers. We just can't stand to let sleeping dogs lie. Get up. Don't be lazy. We got to move it on. Your case that you work on, you think about, and is ever before you, And I don't care if your thing is something you think of as being real significant, real heavy, real hard, or if it's something that just kind of is annoying to you that keeps you from doing all that you could do. Because see, one of the worst things about that is not that you make mistakes and fail. It's not that you, from time to time, have a problem or you sin. That's not the big deal with that. The big deal is, for a lot of us, it pushes us back and keeps us from doing something that we would otherwise do if we thought we were perfect. Well, I hate to break it to you, baby, but you ain't, and you're never going to be. But with your case in the hand of a God who can do something with it, He can move you. He can move someone else. He can open a door. He can close a door. He can give you a determination or a strength. Waking up and going, I'm going to be different today, is not going to do it. Following that example is one of the hardest things you'll do. I want you to take the Post-it, and there are pens scattered around in the seat backs if you don't have one. And you may have already figured it out by now. Your case could be a tragedy. And I'm not going to start naming cases because that's not up to me. Whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional, a habit, an attitude, your mouth, it doesn't matter what category it falls in for you or for me. What matters is that, look how the verse reads here. Never sinned, didn't deceive anyone, never insulted, retaliated when he was insulted, didn't threaten people. He left his case. He left his case in the hands of a God who judges that case fairly. Helps me when I need it, and on some days, man, I really need it. So take that Post-it in as few words as possible. Now, if you don't have, if you're just right there at perfect, you know, and you don't have any of that stuff, then God bless you, and give me your phone number. I need some tips. But if you've got something, especially, and I'm not talking about divulging your sins on this Post-it note. They're not big enough. Won't hold my stuff. I'm talking about one, two words, a phrase that just between you and God, you know. You might even put a person's name on there. You might even put a place or a situation. We're going to leave that in the hands of a God who judges fairly. So just take a minute. Are we done? I'd like for you, if you have one, to come and put it here. I don't know a lot about God, but we've been friends a long time. The more I think I know and start trying to tell other people, I realize, well, wait, I don't know. One of the things I am is a history teacher, and when I come across something that I think I know, but I don't know a certain detail about, it drives me nuts until I research and figure it out. With God, man, I just keep hitting these things and going, well, wait a minute, I didn't see that. I didn't know that. But we are pretty close. He keeps doing stuff for me and blessing me and helping me, speaking to me and giving me hope and strength. So I know we have a connection. But if you want to come, and this is an ordinary, not sanctified, but sanitized garbage bag. I'd just like for you to come and put it in here. In fact, Justin, why don't you hold this for me? You're probably a better holder than I am. I can't be still long enough. And just walk by here. And if you want to stand up when you get back to your spot, be fine. Now, one of the things about us human beings, especially, you know, we like to control stuff, like I said, you're going to be calling me wanting this back because you think you can do something with it. Oh, you had an idea. So I'm going to leave my number here and y'all can call me. No, I'm not. Not. We want to go back and get it. But some things you have to leave there. No matter what category it falls in, there may not be a dang thing you can do about it right now. Until you see something, until something changes. That's in the hands of God. Would you bow your head with me, please? God, I need you more than any other person in this building. You know me inside and out. And I'm really surprised you still let me hang around with you. But I know you love me more than I know anything else in this world. And you love these people. And I just ask you, God, to put calmness in their heart over what they've left in your hands today. And God, this is symbolic, but God, I ask that you would make it deeply spiritual for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ronnie. You may be seated just for a few minutes. Aren't we glad that our Father has big hands? He can take care of the problems. He can take care of the situations. This morning, before you leave, again, I want to ask you if you're a member of the church, if you'll stay following the church. It'll be only about 30 minutes is our goal, just to update you on the things that have happened in the year of 2023. What's exciting is what God is doing in our church. We're able to support so many missionaries. I'm going to ask Gwen to come. Gwen is going to go on a trip to Moldova to visit one of our missionaries in the month of May. John and Adriana Lunga, they are amazing people. They are actually from that area of Moldova, the former Soviet Union. As you know, and if you've been following the country right next to it, Ukraine is in war with Russia. And it's going through several difficulties. Some of the military experts say that if that does happen where Russia takes over Ukraine, there's chances are high that Moldova will be next. Gwen is going to go. We're going to try our best to send at least $500 to that group in Madova to help in ministry. We're going to ask you to pray about it. Next week, we're going to take up an offering in order to send with Gwen to Madova. But Gwen, I just want to, just in a few minutes before we leave, can you just kind of explain some of the trip?
Well, I do want to say, in regards to what John said, my way's paid. So what we're doing is we want to be able to bless them. They have a building project going on where they're building a church, and so we want to be a part of that. We've actually supported John and Adriana Lungu for a number of years. They were with another organization, and they had to come back off the field because they couldn't make it over there. They just they ran out of funding. And so John met the Lungus, and it was just, we felt like it was a God thing. And he began to talk to them about, you know, God, when God calls people into the ministry, he takes care of them. If he's called you, he will take care of you. They came in, they have amazing support now, and now they're building a building. And so it's just been amazing to watch and be a part of what they're doing there. So I was really excited over the last few years. Adriana and I, we connect when she's there, and we connect when she's here. She asked me to mentor her years ago, and so we'll connect by Zoom and just talk back and forth. And so she's asked me before, hey, when are you coming to Moldova? I want you to come and I want you to preach. And so this time around, this is the first time for me to go, and there's an opportunity for me to go with a group of other women from the area that are going as well with other churches in our fellowship. And so I get to be part of the women's conference teaching team, and then there'll be other outreaches and things that we do during that time. One of the things that John and Adriana do that I do stateside is work with women who've been trafficked or experienced any type of sexual exploitation. And so they do that as well in the capital city, where there is Moldova is actually one of the major corridors for human trafficking. And so we'll have opportunity to do some teaching, training with young women there. And so I really am looking forward to going. And it's really exciting that our church actually supports them all year long with monthly support. You do that. Did you know that? If you give to the missions program of this church, you're supporting what is happening in Moldova. And so I'm super excited to take your prayers as behind me as I go, and then also give you an opportunity to sow into what's happening there in Moldova.
Thank you. Let me just say this. A lot of times you'll hear speakers say, if you can't give, please pray. Well, we're saying the prayers are something that we just do anyway. Give. All right. I could tell that went over like a rat sandwich there. I'm going to ask you to bring an offering next week, and we're going to send it to them. I'm blessed. Gwen is a great speaker, communicator. She's going to be one of the two in the whole area that's going to speak while they're in Madova. So I'm blessed to hear what's going to happen. And then the last Sunday of May, Gwen's going to speak, not just giving an update on Madova, but that'll be one of the things that we hear, things that have happened, and then she'll speak on that Sunday. Why don't you stand with me? Thank you again, Ronnie, for a wonderful message. I want you to process that message, because sometimes we carry around that constantly. The trying to figure things out. But our God is big enough. He is able to be able to handle that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the ability to come and hear your word. And Father, be encouraged knowing that, God, that you're still on the throne. You love us, and Father, you want the best for us. And as we leave this place now, help us to carry that. God, that we meditate on that. God, we confess it out of our mouth that you are Lord, and Father, you have a good plan for us. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming today to the chapel. In about 10 minutes, we'll meet right down here in the middle if you're a member and you'd like to stay for the actual business meeting.